Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Enlightened service of the Buddha, of Allah, as we call upon the name of Jesus.
We believe that we are all, every one of us, made in the image of our Creator, by whatever name we call him or her.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about the exclusive claims of Christianity with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery for the next 40 minutes of the program and answering the question, is it a valid criticism of Christianity, often made by unbelievers, that Christianity is exclusive, or perhaps too exclusive, although exclusive seems to me to be in kind of the light, kind of like a light switch. You either are or you aren't. So being too exclusive would seem like the light being turned too on. Well, in what way is Christianity exclusive radically? And in what way is Christianity radically inclusive as well? What did Jesus mean when he said, I am the way, notice the definite article, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He serves as Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College, and he's author and editor of more than 50 books, including Faith Founded on Fact and Christianity for the Tough-Minded. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure.
Is Christianity unique in its claim of exclusivity?
Well, it's not the only religion that's claimed to be exclusive. Islam claims that as well. But in general, the major religions of the world have taken an inclusive approach. For example, Baha'i holds that all religions are presenting truth, and all of the great religious leaders of the world are prophets. But even in Baha'i, of course, the final word is that of Baha'u'llah and his followers. So even if a religion isn't exclusive, it will normally regard itself as the final answer, but it's not saying that if people hold to other religions, they're not at least participating in the truth.
I'm wondering if you could explain precisely what Jesus means when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Well, it seems to me that it's very plain as it stands. You know, there's the old adage that if a thing looks like a tomato, smells like a tomato, and tastes like a tomato, it's probably not a kumquat. And by that same token, Jesus is, it seems to me, stating with absolute precision that the only way to the Father, the only way to a relationship with the Father, is by way of him. And that was certainly the way the followers of Jesus understood it. The apostles understood it that way. In the book of Acts, right at the beginning, they preach there is none other name under heaven by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ.
There's the story that is told, and it's so popular that everybody kind of has a version of this, of the king and the blind men and the elephant, varying versions. There's always one elephant, there are always several blind men, and each of these blind men has his own feeble understanding of what the elephant is, depending on his vantage point, what he can feel of the elephant's body. And the conclusion is usually drawn, with respect to Christianity, Dr. Montgomery, that all world religions have some feeble grasp of the truth. The real truth is kind of beyond all of them, but each one of them gives us a piece of the puzzle, and it's really our task just to cobble them together and figure out what the elephant really looks like.
Well, the problem with this, of course, is that it would only be so if all of the religious presentations were equally vague and equally compatible. That just isn't the case. For Christianity, for example, there is the assertion that God revealed himself uniquely in Jesus Christ. And there is the opportunity in Christianity to meet God as he came to earth, lived a human life, died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and that he uniquely will be coming at the end of time to sum up history. Now, that could be false, of course, but there's no way in the world that it could be compatible with other religious claims that say other things. For example, Islam says that Jesus didn't die on the cross. There was a substitute there. Christianity holds that the only way to be saved is by the grace of God. You can't earn your way to salvation, and yet all of the other religions maintain that you get to heaven or to whatever the cosmic solution is by your own efforts. There's no way in the world they can all be true. They might theoretically all be false, but they can't all be true. And in the case of Christianity, what we have is a good, solid historical attestation for the claims made. We may not like the fact that Christianity is exclusive, but it seems to me that we have to be realistic and take things as they really are. If you go to the physician and he tells you that there's only one remedy for the disease, I hope that you won't take the view that he should be criticized for being so exclusive, and then you go out and you take something else. The likelihood is you're going to die from it.
So how does Jesus back up his words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me"? How does he verify that claim?
Through his resurrection from the dead. There he offers the proof that he is the person he claimed to be, and that's exactly what doesn't exist, what you don't have, in the case of the other religions of the world. A physicist by the name of Wolfgang Pauli once wrote in the margin of a colleague's paper, "This isn't right. It isn't even wrong." That is to say, what was in the paper had no way of being verified or disconfirmed. And so it was really a waste of time. And the sad thing about the major religions of the world and the cults and the like is that they offer no way of confirming or disconfirming them. And, eternity is a long time, and it would be a very great mistake to jump into something where there's no way to determine whether it's true or false, when on the other hand, Christianity offers solid evidence of Jesus' claims.
What good is a religion if it isn't, if it doesn't claim to be exclusively true?
Well, it can, of course, provide social cohesion. It can offer a structure for life. It can provide a moral code of some kind. We certainly wouldn't want to say that religions, even though they don't set forth a correct understanding of God or of eternity, would have no utility at all. They do, but the irony of all of this is that a religion is supposed to get you right with the universe. It isn't supposed to be a little more than a rotary club that will make it possible for you to have a more pleasant existence. The religions claim to be saying something about eternity. It seems to me, we ought to be mature enough to investigate them and see if they can back that up in any way. And if they can't, we ought to move away from them.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're in the middle of part three of our five-part daily series with him answering the objections of unbelievers. You can join us. Our break's coming up here in just a moment. 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE. Or talkbackatissuesetc.org. Talkbackatissuesetc.org. With only a minute here, Dr. Montgomery, I would conclude then on the basis of this first part of our conversation that Christians who say, well, you know, all roads lead to God, Jesus is my way but not the way, have no real backing on the part of Jesus for making such claims.
Well, they don't, and they also clearly are not taking the trouble to find out what Jesus actually teaches. Somebody said that first God made us in his image, and ever since we've been returning the compliment. The fact of the matter is that people like to redo Jesus in accord with what they'd like to have him say, but that really isn't very mature, is it?
When we come back from this break, it is used as a criticism, as a critique of Christianity, that Christianity is exclusive. But for the Christian, the exclusive claim, that is, here is the way, the truth, the life, and there is no other way than the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to be made right with God, to be declared right in God's eyes, is actually the source of tremendous comfort for the Christian. The very thing that the world criticizes is, in fact, the strongest comfort that Christianity offers to the world. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. He's Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's authored and edited more than 50 books, including Faith Founded on Fact and Christianity for the Tough-Minded. You'll find information on these books and other books written by Dr. John Warwick Montgomery under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
An ancient past, problems for the future.
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the very popular The New Answers book.
You know, we should not try to squeeze millions of years of history into the Bible. In fact, I think that a belief in millions of years actually helps discredit anything Christians say about the future. You know why? You see, if you took billions of years for the universe and life to form, but the Bible says it took 6 days, why should anyone believe what the Bible says about Christ preparing a future place for us? And wouldn't God need billions of years to work on it? That's one of the serious problems you run into when you let man's fallible beliefs about the past determine a view of the Bible. Why not accept man's faulty ideas about the future as well? In fact, according to secular views, the world's moving towards a heat death. What kind of hope do people have based on what they're told about the past? But there's a sure hope in the future. Because all of biblical history is true, starting from Genesis, it's accurate right through to what it predicts about the end. There'll be a consummation. That's when Christ will make all things right.
Well, does that mean that global warming will not be the end of the world? We present some surprising answers in an eye-opening DVD we've just co-produced. For your gift of any size, we'll send the DVD to you. Call us toll-free, 24 hours a day, at 888-89-ANSWERS and request the Global Warming DVD. That's 888-89-ANSWERS, or go to the web, answersoffer.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, the 22nd of October. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. I want you to clarify something you said before the break, and that is, in making the claim that Christianity is in fact the only true religion and the only way, that Jesus is the only way of salvation for a sinful world, are we saying that all other religions are patently and completely false in every one of their claims?
No, we're not saying that at all. If another religion makes a statement which is not incompatible with Christianity, then that statement could very well be true. And if it presents a moral teaching, for example, which doesn't contradict what we find in Christianity, then it could be a perfectly satisfactory moral teaching. All we're saying is this, that the purpose of religions is actually not to provide social help or to provide trivial moral ideology. The purpose of religions is to get you right with the universe, to put you into the kind of relationship with the source of the universe that will ensure your situation cosmically. That's what religions are for. And therefore, what we have to do in the case of religions is to see what they consider God to be and how they consider us to be able to enter into that relationship. And when we do that, when we look at the heart of the religions of the world, we find that at that point, they contradict each other. They conflict. They conflict, for example. One of the simplest ways of seeing this is that in the case of Christianity, Christianity claims that you can't earn your way to salvation. You can't get right with God by huffing and puffing and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. But all the other religions of the world give you formulas, techniques, to do exactly that. Now, these two notions can't both be correct. And so what one should do, I imagine, is to ask, in the case of the religions of the world, does any one of them offer evidence for the truth of the position presented? And you can look high and low across the globe and historically, and you will not find any religion other than Christianity that lays it on the line. Said Paul, if Christ is not risen from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. All of the evidence is given there for Christ's resurrection. His resurrection has to be explained. He explains it himself as the result of his incarnation, that he is God Almighty come to earth to die for the sins of the world. You don't have anything like that in the case of other religions. So, for goodness sake, let's not be silly. Let's not go with something for which there isn't any evidence when there is overwhelming evidence for Jesus Christ.
Tim is listening in St. Louis. Tim, thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Welcome, sir. Thank you. The circles that I traveled in as far as the churches and is what I'm speaking about primarily, because I know it's not indigenous just to them, but this seems to be the question. How do we get the church to understand what you're speaking on? And that is the basic problem, is that those who we would differ with have that other view. They say that Jesus isn't unique, and we say that he is. How do we get the church to understand it, though? Because that seems to be the problem. Even with our presidential election, you see, as strident as these gentlemen are on the world views, we still have the church divided on these two gentlemen.
Tim, thank you very much. Dr. Montgomery, what do we do when Christians themselves, or those who claim to be Christians themselves, do not believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life?
Well, there is an old black adage which goes, all dem that's talking about heaven ain't necessarily a going there. And that's very profound. The fact that an organization calls itself a church and it's meeting in a building that looks like a church and it's collecting money for alleged church activities and so forth, all of that doesn't make it a church. At the time of the Reformation, there was a great creedal statement produced called the Augsburg Confession. And in this statement, it said, "The church is present where the gospel is rightly preached and the sacraments are administered in accordance with it." And that is right on key. In the New Testament, it says that the early church was united in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and prayers. Now, if you find an organization calling itself a church, and it's not in that context, then the fact that it calls itself a church doesn't make it such. And one of the biggest problems that we have today are denominations where there is no doctrinal discipline maintained, where the pastors and the theologians can say anything they want, and they can get away with it. That surely isn't the right situation. And all we can do in these contexts, it seems to me, as Luther said, is to be a little Christ to our neighbor. That is, we present the gospel at every opportunity we have. We do this publicly, as it's done on issues, etc., for example. And the end results, we're not responsible for. We're like the watchman on the wall in the Old Testament. Our responsibility is to get up on that wall and tell people the enemy's coming. And if they insist on playing cribbage instead of getting ready, then it's their problem, it's not ours. I mean, that sounds a little harsh, but it seems to me that we should see our task as the proclamation of the truth as clearly and as winningly as we possibly can. We are not responsible for what people do with it after they hear it.
How would you respond to someone who says, and I actually heard a person claiming to be a Christian in an interview with National Public Radio recently, make the statement, "There's nothing more dangerous than someone who is sure he knows the truth with certitude. It sounds as though the claims of Jesus to be the only way, the only truth, and the life are to be taken with certitude." How would you respond to this warning?
Well, the person is perfectly right. If the individual he's talking about is certain about something and is dead wrong about it, that's of course the what has occurred in the case of fanaticisms across the centuries. But if you are maintaining firmly what, as a matter of fact, is true, then you should receive the highest praise. When, for example, de Gaulle was in London during the Second World War, and René Cassin, who was later to draft the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, came into his office, and de Gaulle said to him, "Cassin, nous sommes la France." "Cassin, we are France." And they were in this grubby little office, and only the two of them. And yet that was exactly the case, because in the Vichy regime, they had sold out to the Nazis. That wasn't France. France, and the fact that de Gaulle stuck with that, even though it was a minority view, and held it right to the end, was the most courageous and marvelous thing he could possibly have done. If you believe something that's true, you've got to have the courage to hold on to this. That's not fanaticism at all. That's simply realizing that truth has responsibilities connected with it.
Dr. Montgomery, I heard this one from none other than a Lutheran pastor. When asked the question, "Could there be other ways of salvation for sinners?" his response was, "Well, there may be other ways. We just don't know of any." It seemed a rather broad-minded response.
Of course, God doesn't have to read the Bible to determine what to do. The Bible is given to us, and Scripture tells us that there is only one way. And it is theoretically possible that God could provide other ways himself, not telling us about this. The difficulty with that is that it would seem to make God contradict himself. And therefore, this is not, I don't think, a very attractive route to take. The proper route to take is to consider that if God says something, then he is standing behind this himself. And as such, we can rely upon this. Now, it might be. Now, this is not systematic theology. Don't anybody suggest that I am insisting upon this. But it might be that people who have had no opportunity to hear the gospel through the fact that there were no missionaries available, they lived at a time or in a place where the gospel couldn't reach them, it is theoretically possible, I suppose, that at the moment of death, Christ could appear to them, and they could make a choice concerning him. And if that were the situation, then if they accepted him at that moment of death, they would be entering the kingdom through Christ. They wouldn't be entering it through their own works. But we have no indication in Scripture that that's the situation. And there are passages such as, how shall they hear without a preacher? And it looks as if what the Lord is saying to us don't think that there's any other way, and get out there and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, it may be that on the day of judgment we will get some wonderful, pleasant surprises, but it would be a big mistake to rely on that kind of hypothesis rather than sticking to what Scripture very clearly says, and that means that we must go out and preach the gospel to every creature. We mustn't assume that there is some sort of an escape hatch.
Dr. John Ward Montgomery is our guest. When we come back 10 more minutes with him, we're talking about the objection that is so often raised: Christianity is too narrow. It's part three of our five-part daily series with him on answering the objections of unbelievers. Our call-in number, this break is a good time to call, 1-877-623-6943, or email talkback@issuesetc.org.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Yes, there's so many out there so deeply sincere in what they believe. Of course, people can be sincerely wrong. We're talking about the exclusive claims of Christianity. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. Our in-studio email address this Wednesday, October the 22nd, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. MyIE. Dr. Montgomery, can other religions still stand if their founders turn out to be someone other than who he or she claimed to be?
Well, it would be quite a problem. In the case of the Eastern religions, Buddhism, Taoism, as examples, we know almost nothing about the founders, and the information that we have is probably not of any real historical value, but people in those religions don't care much about that because the religion is a matter of their inner experience. And that, of course, is a very dangerous thing. We know that because of the selfishness of the human race, the fact that we are so self-centered, that the tendency is always to create religions in our own image. And in a situation like that, there is an open-ended possibility of doing exactly that kind of thing. In the case of Christianity, however, we have solid evidence that God has revealed himself, that we're getting a picture which comes from God and not a picture which has been created by fallen human beings. And that, of course, makes all the difference in the world. Incidentally, to balance this whole thing out, we should point out that even though Christianity is exclusive in the sense that it's the only remedy for the disease, it is also inclusive in the sense that it's open to anyone. Christ died for everyone. He didn't die just for a limited number of people. There is a theology that holds that Christ died only for the elect. Nonsense. Christ died for everyone. And that salvation is available to everyone. It's like being given a check. You're given a check. Now, if you don't believe that the person giving you the check has any money in the bank, you won't cash the check. Suppose the person has money in the bank and this check would take care of you for the rest of your life, but you don't believe in him, so you don't cash the check. Well, even though the check is good, it hasn't done you any good at all. Salvation is like this. Christ has done everything for you, and that salvation is available simply by your admitting that you are a sinner and that you need him. You know, and the terrible thing is that so many people don't believe that this account has anything in it, and so they never cash the check.
How would you respond to someone who says, "Look, I know Jesus is true, and I have rock solid reason for doing so. I feel Jesus in my heart. I feel he's true in my heart."
Well, what I would ask the person is, which is really more important? Is it what's going on in your heart, or is it Jesus? And if the person says, "Well, Jesus is in my heart," I would say, okay. The problem here is that there are a lot of cults and sects and strange organizations in which people describe Jesus in lots of different ways. I would like to know who you think Jesus is, the Jesus in your heart. Who do you think he is? And if the person then goes to the New Testament and says, "Well, he says he's such and such," then I would feel comfortable with this. But if the person refuses to leave the sphere of his own personal experience and doesn't go to Scripture and doesn't go to see what Jesus said about himself, then I would be very suspicious that this is a matter of sort of creating a Jesus for the individual rather than taking the Jesus who really exists.
How do you evaluate phrases like, this is one I read on a bumper sticker some years back, "My God is too big to fit into your religion"?
Well, this is another reason not to pay any attention to bumper stickers, isn't it? The question, whenever a theological assertion is made like that, my immediate question is, why do you think that's the case? What gives you the idea that your God has, that God has any particular characteristics rather than any others? What one has to ask here is what the philosophers call the epistemological question, the question as to the truth value of the assertion, because anybody can say anything. You know, you can say that God is the cosmic kumquat. There are any number of assertions about God that can be made. The issue is not whether people can make those assertions. The question is, do they have any value? Really, you're not going to find out who God's like, how big he is, or his relationship to you or to salvation unless he's revealed himself. Listen, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We cannot possibly do a psychoanalysis of God. If he hasn't revealed himself, we don't know anything about him. But, you know, praise God, he has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and in the Bible we can rely upon. So let's stop the nonsense and let's go there. In debates with atheists, I've often said, you know, if you deny that there was any such thing as electricity, we could sit here and we could talk about the theory of this for a very long time. What I would prefer to do is to take you over to a light socket and stick your fingers in. In other words, what you're trying to prove depends upon the object of the proof. And in the case of religion, there are ways of demonstrating this, and the Bible happens to be the power of God unto salvation. It's like the light socket, and if people are willing to put themselves at the disposal of Holy Scripture, there they will find out what the truth is. But if you're unwilling to go to the location where the thing can be demonstrated, you know, you've got only yourself to blame if you never get the demonstration.
Dr. Montgomery, you said something earlier that I'd like to finish with, and with only about a minute here. You said it's really when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he is really consigning all other alleged ways and telling us that they are the path of works, and the only true path is his perfect life, death, and resurrection. Talk about that briefly here with only a minute left.
Well, yes, that is exactly the case. At the same time, we are not doing last judgment ourselves. And it is a great mistake if, as Christians, we think that we can look into people's hearts and know where they are. All we can do is to preach the gospel and respect the choice of the individual as to what they're going to do with this. And I think we should always try to use analogies like the physician who gives you a remedy, and it's the only remedy for the disease. And if the physician knows what he is doing, you're making the worst mistake on earth to try to engage in self-medication. And by the same token, Holy Scripture has given the one remedy for the problem of sin, and it's an attested remedy. It is solid, and therefore a person cannot make a worse mistake than to think that he can engage in self-medication when the great physician has already taken care of this for him out of love on the cross.
Folks, go to our website tonight, issuesetc.org, click On Demand, and find out about a great academy led by our guest, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, called the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. It's the premier academy in the defense of the Christian faith, and it's held annually in Strasbourg, France. issuesetc.org, click On Demand, and look for information on the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, author and editor of more than 50 books, including Faith Founded on Fact and Christianity for the Tough-Minded. Dr. Montgomery, look forward to tomorrow's conversation. Thanks for being our guest.
You're very welcome.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk with Dr. Montgomery about answering the objection, how can an all-loving God allow evil to exist? The old problem of evil. We'll spend some time talking with him about that tomorrow. We'll also talk with Dr. Robert George of Princeton University about Senator Barack Obama's abortion extremism. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. The physician analogy is a good one. It really is. And this is a physician who not only offers the medicine, but this is a physician who administers the medicine, even to unwilling sinners. He says, here is your real problem. Let me diagnose it for you. And here is the only solution there is. Trust me, it is the only solution that there is. The solution is amazing, that the physician himself would take the disease on your behalf, that he would bear all of its consequences, even die from it, and then rise from the dead. And then he administers this very remedy and cure to you and to me, and he saves us. That's the kind of physician we have in Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.